The first reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day, and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Our text today for our sermon is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew 28:1-10. The title is, "Christ Has Arisen." Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. With those words, the Christian Church throughout history has confessed its most important, most joyous, and most preposterous message. Most important because it means that all believers in Christ will also rise to everlasting life someday. Most joyous because it means that Jesus vanquished all his foes. most preposterous because it is contrary to everything we know about death. Let's talk about preposterous first. The news of the resurrection is the most preposterous message of the Christian Church. You really can't blame the modern scientific mind for not believing in the resurrection of Jesus. Unlike the people of Jesus' day, we have an accurate knowledge of what happens to human bodies at death and how that happens. Doctors know that at a certain point, there is nothing they can do to help the human body sustain itself. When they take a body off the life support systems, the body systems start shutting down, and the irreversible process of decay begins. Once the decay begins, it spreads quickly, making repair of affected tissue impossible. In death, the body's hormones change, its chemistry changes, and finally, the cellular structure in the body begins to collapse. Any body dead for 36 hours, like Jesus, is far beyond repair or resuscitation. Even in Jesus' day, the story of his resurrection was preposterous. Although ancient people did not know much about what happens at death, they did know the signs of death and when it was irreversible. The soldiers at the cross were professional executioners. It was their job to make sure the criminals and revolutionaries were permanently dead. They would not have let Jesus come off the cross until their job was done. They, too, would have scoffed at anyone who suggested that a crucified man was alive. The news of the resurrection is the most joyous message of the Christian Church. Through the resurrection, Jesus proved that he was victorious over sin, death, hell, and Satan. He was victorious over sin because God had laid upon him the sins of the whole world. Jesus had suffered and died for those sins, not for his own. On the cross, he lost the fellowship of the Father because of those sins. He paid the full price for those sins, and their guilt was gone. Jesus' righteousness was greater than all the sins of the world, and that is why you are forgiven through his suffering and death. Jesus was victorious over death because death is a punishment sent from God upon all of Adam's descendants. God said to Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." This promise was for Adam and Eve and all their descendants. God made good on that promise, for all humans have died and remain dead from Adam and Eve until the present day, except for Jesus. Death had a right to claim all humans because of their original sin and actual sins. But Jesus had no sin at all. So when death tried to do its work, it found that it had no right to the body of Jesus. Like the whale who swallowed Jonah, death vomited Jesus right back up. Jesus was victorious over hell and Satan because, as the Creed says, he descended into hell prior to his resurrection. Jesus' descent into hell and his ascent from there can be partly understood by watching the modern fantasy film The Lord of the Rings, based on the book by J.R.R. Tolkien. When the hobbits and their friends entered the caves of Moria, they encountered a monstrous Balrog, which is a type of demon. Gandalf the Grey, their wizard, challenged the Balrog, and the two entered mortal combat. At the end of the battle, the Balrog and Gandalf fell down together into the bottomless pit, which is a metaphor for hell. Later in the story, Gandalf reappeared, now as Gandalf the White. He told the amazed hobbits about how he fell into the deepest recesses of hell, conquered the Balrog, went through transformations, and was finally brought back to the surface by the gods to continue his vital mission. In a similar way, after his physical death, the soul of Jesus descended into a place variously called Sheol, Underworld, Hades, or Hell. It is not the place where the devil, demons, and unbelievers will finally be exiled at the end of the world, but it is the place where they currently dwell. The Greeks and Romans of Jesus' day were well acquainted with this place, and even believed that a god named Hades or Pluto ruled over it. They believed that this place was somewhere underground, and that caves led there, and thus they called it the underworld. We should not be confused by the ancient Greek and Roman ideas of hell. Just as we know that heaven is not a place physically above the earth, so we know that hell is not a place physically below the earth. It is a place that cannot be detected by normal physical instruments or visited by vehicles. Properly speaking, heaven and hell are metaphysical. Wherever or whatever hell is, Jesus paid the place a visit. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:18-19, Jesus was made alive in the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who had been disobedient. You might say that he taught them all a lesson. Hell and Satan have never been the same since. The news of the resurrection is the most important message of the Christian Church. If you have only a few minutes to talk to people about Jesus, this is the one thing you must tell them. Christ is arisen. If you believe that he is risen and believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior from sin, death, hell, and Satan, you too will rise on the last day to be with him. That message is the essence of the Christian gospel. Everything else that we say in the church comes from that and must lead back to that message. The news of the resurrection is the most important message because it means that if you believe in Jesus, death also has no permanent grip on you. The Apostle Mark proclaims, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." When you believe and are baptized, such belief in baptism has no immediate visible effect. But on the day of your death, your belief and baptism kicks into action. The Holy Spirit, which you received at baptism, stretches out his wings, and he takes your soul and spirit up to heaven. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In the same way, those who die in the Lord open their eyes on their death day in Christ's heavenly temple. When Christ descends once again, on that day in the future, from heaven to earth, the trumpet will sound, and all the bodies of the dead will rise. The bodies of the unbelievers will rise to judgment, while the bodies of believers will rise to join their souls. Then all believers, we will all be changed, transformed, and our shimmering, glorious bodies will be dressed in white robes to join all the faithful in the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. In our Savior's name, Amen.